I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back.
Welcome to the Blessed Message, a peaceful space where reflections lead to renewal. Our platform is dedicated to creating a place where believers can meditate on God's Word, grow spiritually, and share biblically sound encouragement with fellow believers. Join our community as we delve into the depths of Scripture, nurturing our hearts and minds together. Today, I will be sharing a short sermon titled "Who is Jesus? And Why Did He Come?" Be blessed as you read or listen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I praise and worship you, for you alone are God. You are the Good Shepherd, the keeper of our lives, the one who was, who is, and who is to come. To you be all glory, honor, and majesty, now and forever. We thank you for the gift of life and for everyone connected to us. Thank you, Father, for your abundant grace and for the hope we have in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We acknowledge that we are nothing without you. In your boundless love, you came to die for us, and you continue to guide, sustain, and uphold us even when we fall short. You paid the price so that we might live in the fullness of your grace. Father, receive all the glory. As we meditate on your word today, may it minister to every heart and draw many into the knowledge of your truth. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Introduction. To understand who Jesus is and why he came, the heart must first be yielded in humility, positioned to receive revelation, James 1 verse 21. The knowledge of Christ is not attained through human reasoning alone but by the Spirit of God, who illuminates the truth, 1 Corinthians 2 verse 14. So let us not rely on personal opinions or worldly interpretations. Instead, let us allow Scripture to speak for itself, for it is the foundation upon which our faith stands. May the Holy Spirit guide our understanding, that we may behold the glory of Christ and the purpose of his coming with clarity and conviction. Jesus Christ is the central figure of our faith for several reasons. In this message, I will share foundational truths that every believer, and anyone seeking clarity about joining the family of God through his Son, must understand. Many still struggle to grasp who he is, why he came, and what his life means for us today. Some reject him entirely, denying both his divinity and his role as the Son of God. Others acknowledge him as a great prophet and moral teacher but refuse to believe in his crucifixion and resurrection. Still, some choose to remain indifferent to the reality of salvation and eternal life. However, in this write-up, my focus will be on answering the fundamental questions: who is Jesus? And why did he come? Jesus is not merely a great teacher, a prophet, or a moral leader like others before him. He is the Son of God. He is God in the flesh. He is our Messiah. To truly know who Jesus is and why he came, one must submit to the authority of Scripture. The Bible is not merely a spiritual book. It is historically and prophetically accurate, divinely inspired, and wholly reliable. Archaeological discoveries and ancient manuscripts confirm its authenticity, proving that its message has been faithfully preserved throughout generations. Beyond history, the Bible stands as a unified revelation of God's plan, written over centuries by different authors, yet maintaining perfect consistency. It has foretold events with remarkable precision, demonstrating its divine inspiration. Even in matters of science and morality, Scripture unveils truths far beyond human discovery. The Word of God is the ultimate foundation for understanding who Jesus is. Without submitting to its authority, one cannot fully comprehend his identity, his mission, or the salvation he offers to all who believe. Jesus' first public declaration of his mission, Luke 4 verses 16 to 22 amp. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to release, pardon, forgive, the captives. And to recover sight to the blind. To set free those who are oppressed, downtrodden, bruised, crushed by tragedy. To proclaim the favorable year of the Lord, the day when salvation and the favor of God abound greatly. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down, and the eyes of all in the synagogue were intently fixed on him. He began speaking to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing and in your presence." And all spoke well of him and marveled at the eloquent words that were coming from his lips, and they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" These are some key moments where Jesus spoke about who he is. John 6 verse 35, "And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." Note, the bread of life. John 8 verse 12, "Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Note, light of the world. John 10 verse 7, "Then Jesus said to them again, Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." Note, the door. John 10 verse 9, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture." John 10 verse 11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." Note, the shepherd. John 15 verses 1 and 5, "I am the true vine." John 14 verse 6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Read the book of John for context. Yes. Those were bold statements, hard to comprehend for people who had relied solely on the law and devoted themselves to teaching it. They were already accustomed to a fixed understanding of who they thought God was. So, for Jesus to call himself Yahweh, using I Am, the covenant name of God, revealing his eternal and self-existent nature, was beyond what they could accept. It challenged everything they knew. This is why it stirred resentment and hatred toward him. To them, it was unthinkable. But for a clearer understanding, and to ensure that those who have yet to receive Jesus Christ into their lives may be enlightened, I urge you to pay close attention as we allow the scripture to speak for itself. Many of the questions that occupy people's minds today have already been addressed in the Word of God, whether through the voice of God the Father, the Son, or by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, as conveyed through the apostles, prophets, and eyewitnesses. There are three foundational truths that must be firmly planted in your heart whenever you hear the name of Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. He is God in the flesh. He is our Messiah. The term Messiah, translated from the Greek as Christos, signifies the Anointed One. 1. Jesus is the Son of God. The Bible unequivocally declares that Jesus is the Son of God, signifying that he shares in the divine nature of the Father. Matthew 3 verse 17 states, "And suddenly a voice came from heaven, saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." There is no clearer or more profound way to affirm this truth. God himself spoke from heaven, declaring, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." This was not the testimony of men, nor an interpretation of events, but the direct proclamation of God the Father, audibly affirming Jesus' divine identity at his baptism. Jesus was not an adopted son, nor merely a distinguished prophet. He is the eternal Son of God, existing with the Father from the very beginning. To fully grasp this, we must turn to John 1 verses 1 to 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. Pay close attention to the phrase, without him, nothing was made that was made. This means that everything that exists came into being through Christ. Apart from him, creation itself would not be possible. This verse affirms not only Jesus' divine authority but also his role in creation, reinforcing the unity of the Godhead. This sheds light on his profound declaration in John 10 verse 30, I and the Father are one. The word one here denotes unity, wholeness, and absolute oneness, not merely in purpose but in essence. This truth is further reinforced in Jesus' high priestly prayer before his crucifixion. John 17 verse 5, And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Take note of the phrase, before the world was. This testifies to Christ's eternal existence with the Father, long before creation began. He did not come into being at a certain point in time, he has always existed in perfect glory, unity, and divinity with the Father. Thus, when we speak of Jesus as the Son of God, we are not referring to a metaphorical or honorary title. We are declaring an eternal, divine truth, that he is God in the flesh, the second person of the Trinity, and the very expression of God's nature to mankind. 2:2. Jesus is God in the flesh. Jesus is not merely the Son of God, he is fully God. Isaiah 9 verse 6 prophesies, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Take note of the titles, Mighty God and Everlasting Father. These names unequivocally affirm his divine nature as God. Until one grasps the concept of God as a triune being, three persons in one, it may be difficult to fully comprehend this truth. The term one signifies unity. Jesus came to reveal the divine nature of God in human form. He was called God even before his physical manifestation. I pray that the Lord opens the eyes of our understanding. Amen. Philip once asked Jesus, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. To which Jesus responded, Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father, so how can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. John 14 verses 8-11, NKJV. This is not the first time humanity has sought to distinguish the Father from the Son. Yet, Jesus' answer is clear, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. The undeniable truth remains, no one can come to the Father except through him, John 14 verse 6. To disregard the finished work of Christ on the cross is, in essence, to claim that one has no sin, no need for redemption, and no need for salvation. Such a stance not only denies the reality of sin but also makes God a liar, contradicting his own law. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 6 verse 23, NKJV. By rejecting salvation, one is effectively saying, Adam and Eve sinned, but I did not, so I have no need to be saved. But Scripture declares, Let God be true, and every man a liar. Romans 3 verse 4, NKJV. The greatest gift to mankind is the atoning sacrifice of Christ, through whom we are reconciled to God. The Scripture makes it clear that not all will receive him or believe in him, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. John 1 verse 12, NKJV. Salvation is a divine gift. The first Adam disobeyed God. Deceived by the devil, he and Eve broke God's commandment, fell from grace, and severed humanity's fellowship with the Father. Sin entered the world, and with it, death and separation from God. We needed a Savior. Thus, God came down in human flesh to pay the ultimate price, redeeming us and restoring our relationship with him. This gift is freely offered, but the choice remains ours, to receive it or to reject it. God will never impose himself upon anyone. However, the moment one acknowledges their need for salvation, confesses with their mouth, and accepts Jesus into their life, they receive the priceless gift of God's grace. Now, we can boldly declare, "I am a child of God." Glory to God. Scriptural affirmation that Jesus is God in the flesh. Colossians 2 verse 9 4 In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Hebrews 1 verse 3 Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. 1 Timothy 3 verse 16 And without controversy great is the mystery of godliness, God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed in the world, received up in glory. John 20 verse 28 And Thomas answered and said to him, My Lord and my God. These verses reaffirm the deity of Christ. Colossians 2 verse 9 declares that the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily in him. Hebrews 1 verse 3 reveals that Jesus is the express image of God. 1 Timothy 3 verse 16 declares that he is God manifest in the flesh. Isaiah 9 verse 6 prophesies that he would be called Mighty God long before his birth. And in John 20 verse 28, even Thomas, who once doubted, confessed him as my Lord and my God. Through these scriptures, it is unequivocally established that Jesus is God in the flesh. 3. Jesus is the Messiah, Christ. The title Messiah holds profound significance and is central to the Christian faith. Derived from the Hebrew term ma, it translates as anointed one or chosen one. In Greek, the corresponding term is Christos, kairo iota sigma tau, which also means anointed one. Both designations point to the divinely appointed Savior and Redeemer, chosen by God to bring salvation to his people. Jesus is the Messiah, the one prophesied in the Old Testament who would come to redeem humanity from sin and restore the fractured relationship between God and mankind. His mission transcended mere healing and teaching. He came to fulfill humanity's deepest need, salvation from sin and eternal separation from God. The Old Testament is replete with prophecies that foretell the coming of the Messiah, shedding light on his identity, his suffering, and the salvation he would bring. Below are four key prophecies. Isaiah 9 verses 6-7. This passage speaks to the divine nature of the Messiah, calling him Mighty God and Everlasting Father, thus affirming his dual nature, both human and divine. It declares that he will establish an eternal kingdom, underscoring the eternal reign of the Messiah. Micah 5 verse 2. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. This prophecy foretells the birthplace of the Messiah, Bethlehem, and proclaims his eternal nature, indicating that he existed before his earthly birth, a testament to his pre-incarnate existence. Isaiah 53 verses 3-5. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. This passage portrays the suffering Messiah, who would bear the sins of the world, offering healing through his sacrifice. Psalm 22 verses 16-18. For dogs have surrounded me, the congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet, I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. This prophetic psalm powerfully foretells the crucifixion of the Messiah, vividly describing the piercing of his hands and feet and the casting of lots for his garments, events that were fulfilled at the crucifixion of Jesus. 2. Peter's confession of Jesus as the Messiah. In Matthew 16 verses 15-17, Jesus poses the question to his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter responds, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus affirms Peter's confession, declaring that this truth was revealed to him by the Father in heaven. Peter's declaration is pivotal, recognizing Jesus as the Messiah, the promised Savior of the world. 3. The Samaritan woman at the well. In John 4 verses 25 to 26, Jesus engages in conversation with a Samaritan woman at the well. She expresses her hope in the coming Messiah, saying, "When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus, in turn, directly reveals himself to her, affirming that he is indeed the Messiah. 4. John's testimony of Jesus as the Lamb of God. In John 1 verse 29, John the Baptist boldly declares, "Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." Here, John the Baptist recognizes Jesus as the Messiah, fulfilling the prophecy of the suffering servant who would bear the sins of the world. Though words cannot fully encapsulate the depth of his love, we are reminded that there is no greater love than this, the love that Jesus demonstrated through his sacrifice for the redemption of humanity. Indeed, we can only stand in awe and thanksgiving, proclaiming, "Thank you, Jesus." The moment you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. When you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are acknowledging not just who God says he is, but also what he has done for us. You're accepting his earthly work, his passion, his suffering, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension back to the Father. The law was never meant to bring salvation, it was meant to show us how much we need a Savior. Jesus came to fulfill everything that was written about him in the Scriptures. He offered himself as the perfect sacrifice to redeem us and bring us back into a relationship with the Father. Romans 3 verse 23. Romans 6 verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Our forefathers sinned, and because of that, we were condemned. But Jesus came to be the bridge between us and God. He is the mediator of the new covenant, and his blood speaks life and grace over us who believe. When you believe in Jesus, you are given the right to become a child of God, John 1 verse 12. But this belief is a choice, and God gives us free will. We all must decide whether to accept or reject Jesus. Ignoring the truth doesn't change the fact that it's still true. No amount of good works can earn salvation. No amount of repentance without faith in Jesus can save us. As it's written, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast," Ephesians 2 verses 8 to 9. Some people may deny that there's life after death, but denying it doesn't make it untrue. Hebrews 9 verse 27 tells us, "It is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment. On that day, we will all stand before the righteous judge." I pray that this truth touches your heart, that it draws you closer to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no greater love than the love he came to show us. A call to salvation. If you have yet to join us on this journey of faith, here is another opportunity. After all is said and done, the choice remains yours, to choose life in Christ or to reject him. But remember, even refusing to choose is still a choice made. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Mark 8 verses 36 to 37. God does not desire that anyone should perish but that all should come to the knowledge of Christ. That is why this message has come to you today, tomorrow may be too late. If you can put your faith in worldly things, in man-made inventions, trusting them without knowing how they were made, how much more should you trust the one who created your soul? Even creation itself testifies to the existence of God. He is the one who breathed life into us all. For since the creation of the world his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Romans 1 verse 20. After death comes judgment. We will all stand before our Creator and give an account. Even now, Jesus is calling you, will you answer? Today is the day to make that decision. He loves you and desires to save you from sin, give you a new life, and grant you eternal life in him. Romans 10 verses 9 to 10, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. No matter your past, Jesus offers forgiveness and a new beginning. Today is the day of salvation, do not harden your heart. Come to Him just as you are. Prayer of Salvation. If you are ready, pray this sincerely with all your heart. He sees you, even now. He said, "Call unto me, and I will answer you." Jeremiah 33 verse 3. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. Your word says, "Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Acts 2 verse 21. Today, I call upon you. I acknowledge that I am a sinner in need of your mercy and grace. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins and that you raised him from the dead for my justification. Lord Jesus, I confess you as my Savior, and I surrender my life to you completely. Wash me with your precious blood and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, that I may walk in your ways and live according to your will. Help me to know you more, to love you deeply, and to follow you faithfully. I declare that from this moment forward, my life belongs to you. I reject sin, darkness, and everything that separates me from you. I embrace the new life you have given me, and I receive your gift of eternal salvation. Thank you for saving me, Lord. I am now a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have prayed this prayer sincerely, welcome to the family of Christ. Get connected to a Bible-believing church and grow in your faith. Conclusion. In answering the question, who is Jesus, and why did he come, we see that he is not just a historical figure or a great teacher, he is the Son of God, God in the flesh, the Lamb who takes away the sins of the world. His coming was the ultimate expression of God's love, fulfilling prophecy, restoring our relationship with the Father, and offering salvation to all who believe in him. Through his life, death, and resurrection, Jesus has made a way for us to be reconciled to God, granting us eternal life and the privilege of being called children of God. His mission was clear: to seek and save the lost, to reveal the heart of the Father, and to call us into a life of faith, truth, and holiness. The gift of salvation is freely given, but it must be received. The choice is ours: to believe in Him, surrender to Him, and walk in the new life He offers. Let us not harden our hearts but open them to receive Christ fully. May His presence transform us, renewing our hearts and minds daily. Let us live with the awareness that Jesus is not just a figure in history but the living Savior who reigns forever. Final prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the great privilege of being called children of God. I am grateful for the opportunity to share your word, reaching hearts across the world. Thank you for the life you gave, for the price you paid, for the love you have shown, and for the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. Thank you for overcoming the world so that we can live in the fullness of your grace and victory. Sin, death, and the powers of darkness no longer have any hold over us, for our lives are hidden in Christ. Lord, may this message touch every heart it reaches. Let your light shine through us, and may your name be glorified now and forevermore. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. May the peace and presence of God, which surpasses all understanding, be with you now and forever. Remember, He has called you blessed. Live it. Claim it. Declare it. You are blessed beyond measure. Keep your faith strong, your heart pure, and your eyes fixed on Jesus. John 20 verse 29, Matthew 6 verse 33. Written by TBM, The Blessed Message.
No one like you, Ella Rudy. No one like you. Oh, no one like you. I will my own. No one like you. Allah Deura. You're the God of everything. someone like you.